Hello, Krishna. We're here in Solitude Farm in your farm. We are going to talk a bit about permaculture and also about the workshop happening the weekend. So, Krishna, will you give us a few explanations about the permaculture?
Yeah, sure. Wanna come? So, permaculture is it's actually a word that's a bit hyped these days, actually, because it's something very simple and straightforward, and it's about relationships. It's about the relationships of all the different life in the soil, the microorganisms, the molds, the bacteria, insects, earthworms, small animals, and how all the interaction of that life is the fertility. So fertility is not just a reduction of some basic chemicals like nitrogen, potash, but it's actually all the interrelationship of the life in the soil. So that's like one dimension of the permaculture. Maybe the next dimension would be the crops that you intercrop. So you're intercropping crops that have different physiologies. The next dimension would be the actual crops that we grow. So you have crops that have different physiologies. And then you have crops that are intercropped due to the fact that they have different time durations.
Yeah.
So some crops are short duration crops, some crops are medium duration crops, some crops are long duration crops. And then some are very long, for example, like fruit trees. They're going to be in the field at least 15, 20 years for a citrus. Then you have crops that are very, very short, like spinach, like amaranth. It's not actually going through its reproductive cycle. It's just the leaves that we are harvesting. So by mixing up crops of different time duration and then having different physiologies, for example, cucumbers that creep on the ground like a carpet and corn that comes up on the vertical strata. So you're able to intercrop those crops due to their physiological differences. So that's another dimension of permaculture.
Yeah, question then, of shape almost,
yeah,
as well.
Definitely. It's a creation of a beautiful form and evolving a feat of nature. No? The third dimension you could say is us. We eat those crops. We get nourished in a real way. I've been away in Chennai for the last 2 days and I just came back, and the lunch I ate, I felt finally, that's what food tastes like. Actually, we're being cheated by calling food that's bought in a supermarket. We're actually being cheated in many respects.
Even in India?
Everywhere. All this chemically grown food, it misses something essential, which is health. So we can talk about health as in various, you know, things, and we have to do this and that, but there's something essential about health which is essential to nature, and we are nature. So this movement away from this health, this thing that we are as nature, well-being, the other food is a movement away from well-being. So the whole society is disintegrating.
Yeah.
So the basis of our social disintegration is not knowing where our food is coming from. And then because we don't know where our food comes from, we are disconnected with nature. And that well-being that you taste when you eat real food that you've grown, you know, we've grown our rice without tillage, and our vegetables, our dal, our oil, many of the things we eat, fruits. There's that health, that well-being is there.
Okay, so that connection between the human and nature.
Yes, very much, very much, very profound, point, and very, it passes us by because we've so much gone away from nature.
Yeah.
So we're not aware of it. So I think experiences like coming to the Solitude restaurant, eating food that tastes like that, and also being told this is a banana flower, this is the stem of the banana, this is a yam, these are sweet potatoes. All this, people start to, it's a very humble beginning, but they start to open their eyes to have a sense of where the food has come from and what that tastes like, you know. There's a oral experience which is synonymous with the, you know, an understanding which is happening on an intellectual level.
Yeah, okay.
Know?
And so the other way you found to make people come to your farm and experiment all that to offer a workshop?
For the workshop, the workshop is an extension of, it's like there's all sorts of permaculture workshops and this and that. And they're great, you know, it's really great. But I think my essential aim is to try and let people recapture what's that sense of well-being, and also give some actual practical means by which they can, approach that.
Yeah.
So basically we created raised beds together. We dug trenches. And in those trenches, we filled it with all sorts of organic matter. We actually filled it with about 30 centimeters of thorny sticks.
Yeah, mulch, yeah, you call it.
Mulch
is the word.
Yeah, in French, paillage.
Paillage, yeah.
So we put thorns in the bottom. Most people would burn thorns or throw them in the fence, but we use the thorns, and we use soft organic matter that we could stand on top. And we use huge amount of organic matter that was around the plot we were working on. So it was a readily available bioresource for the garden. And then we did a lot of intercropping, all sorts of different crops together. And within that plot, there was also a garden that we had started with the last permaculture workshop that was already 2 months old. So we looked at what it means to maintain a garden. You know?
Okay.
You do a first planting, but then you're like, half the thing is finished, half the thing starts to get weeds. How do you go on again? You know, how do you maintain that sense that something is, you know, permanent?
Yeah.
Permanent agriculture, permaculture.
And there are people that can follow that, for instance, that were here workshop.
Sure. Today someone said, I'm doing okay in my steps of doing raised beds with, diversity of intercrops, heavy mulching. They just wrote me today. Yeah, people are doing.
Yeah.
Definitely, that's why they came. That's the beauty of doing a workshop, is you get the people all focused on one aim, you know, so there's a good energy. This group was very lovely, very nice group.
Yes.
And we spend every evening and in the mornings a little bit also. We read from this book, The One Straw Revolution by Masanobu Fukuoka.
The master.
Who created this natural farming, you know. He observed that nature is perfect and there's nothing you can do to improve upon nature. Amazon was not man's creation. And look at the diversity in the Amazon and the beauty of that. You know, it's not a man's creation. So he made a parallel with that about growing food. He said, surely we can find a way of growing food where nature is doing the main work, like the plowing, like the, fertilizing the soil, that we don't have to bring in compost with tractors like we still do here sometimes, you know. But so he grew rice and he had very high yields, comparable to those of conventional farmers in his prefecture in Japan. And he was growing rice without doing anything, you know, just sowing the rice into a ground cover, letting that ground cover die and the rice would come up through it, and then doing a winter crop of barley, again with clover, rice, barley, like that. He was rotating.
Okay.
So we've been trying to work on that for a long time, and there's a lot of integrity in what he's talking about. A lot of people come to this farm and they discover Fukuoka and they recognize the farmer inside.
They didn't
themselves.
Know him before.
Some of them, yes, some of them not.
Because
but they recognize the farmer that's there in everybody. We all have a birthright to grow our own food, to know where our food comes from. It's our birthright, I feel, you know. So people recognize that, and because the philosophical value is very, it's true, you know. It's not my truth opposed to your belief, or it's just he's talking about reality. So everyone resonates with it because we all have that reality inside us, and that's a very important aspect of the workshop. And I realized this year, this last workshop, that when I've been inspired to do something in my life, like come to Auroville, it was because of a deep resonance of something inside me. Thus, I had the energy to manifest the things I'm doing.
You came here because you wanted to do permaculture?
Yeah, natural farming, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I wanted to be in the Mother's Auroville. I was,
doing that.
I was in love with the teachings of Mother and Sri Aurobindo.
Yeah.
And So that was my whole inspiration. I feel that when people read Fukuoka and they resonate with that feeling that that farmer inside themselves, that gives them a lot of energy to go forward, you know. This isn't just a reaction to, oh, the world is going bad, we have to start to do something. This is something that comes from inside.
Yeah, it's a truth.
It's a very profound point, you know, very important point. And everyone loves the reading. Every time you read it, everyone loves it. And so it just integrates this whole learning on different levels, you know, as much as the practical, physical, you know, digging beds and planting. And we also had this aspect. And this last workshop, we started to work with Deepika and Bernard in Pebble Garden, and they took the Sunday morning session talking about soil regeneration, because in Pebble Garden they have the most exquisite example of soil regeneration, I think, in order from pebbles they've grown a garden, which makes the most incredible diversity and beautiful plants.
In which garden?
Vegetables.
Which?
Pebble Garden.
What is Pebble Garden?
It's this place that Deepika and Bernard have pioneered. And they grow all sorts of vegetables and fruits, and it's they grow it only for seeds. Deepika has distributed the last year over 2 lakh seeds, 200,000 seeds, surely more, all over India to different festivals, seed festivals, biodiversity festivals.
Okay.
So they gave a small workshop on Sunday morning as part of our workshop on soil regeneration, soil rebuilding, and also seeds. And seed diversity. So that was that made our workshop take on another
dimension.
Dynamic, exactly. Yeah. I mean, because these guys, they're really what they've done is huge. You know, it's massive what they've done. It's beautiful. It's full of integrity. And so again, we're trying to be very authentic about what we're teaching, you know. It's not a permaculture workshop where you're being taught theory. It's something that's for the heart, you can say. I really feel strongly about that. Otherwise, what's the point? You know, you can sit on Google and get all the information on your
own. Yeah. And also the people during workshop, they stay here in the farm, they sleep here.
Yeah, just for a couple of days. Some people came from Bombay for this workshop.
Okay.
Yeah, some people came from Bangalore, from Chennai.
Yeah, you can remind for the radio, the contact for if people want to do workshop with you.
Sure, it's they can look at www.auravillepermaculture.com. And they can also write to Krishna McKenzie at auraville.org.in. McKenzie is McKenzie.
Yes. So, next workshop will happen when?
We're just
July?
Discussing it now. No, in March maybe.
March.
We'll see. Or July. March or July.
Okay.
Or if it's March, it can also be July. If it's not March, it will only be July.
Yeah, to check. It has to be checked.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you very much, Krishna, for those explanations.
Letting me tell you.
Yeah, and long life to permaculture.
Okay, this is basil. This basil will come very easily on its own, you know, here. We do it in the nursery also because we want to have a certain amount of plants. We want to have 500 plants. We do it in the nursery. Here we won't be able to control that so much, how many plants we have. But we can do basil. This is like a different aim in this field. We said we were going to do a line of bananas on this bund. I think it would be good to just cut off the edges of these beds, you know, and just have a level path. And then when we have a level path, all that soil will go on that bund, and that bund will probably be big enough by then. Then what I suggest is we put a line of bananas in here. That means a banana, say, one here, one there, and then another here. Then they have some space, you know. Yeah, it's not like we're trying to intensively just grow bananas. We'll grow one there, one there, one there. Say five bananas. Huh? That's okay, we're going to cut that out. But we'll have like five bananas along here. Then we could also have the... we can have a tapioca in the middle of the bananas to increase that. And we could also do some tur dal all along here as well. So then basically what we've done is we made a nice hedge. The tur dal is going to become like a big bush. The banana will just be like finding its space within all of that. And the tapioca will come straight up. It'll go for the light. It'll just push up until it gets the light. So it'll manage within all of that growth. The Tour Dal, its benefit, as I say, is to open up the soil and return organic matter. We'll also use it as a structure a bit later on. So we're planting it to get to use it later on as well, not only for now. The banana is going to give the fruit, and the tapioca will give fruit after 9 months. So that's sort of like a long-term thing. You see, this compost is a little bit not mature, no? And but actually all this family of pumpkins, cucumbers, melons, gourds, they all like a little bit hot compost. So this, that it's not completely decomposed, is just fine for this particular thing. And then you just pop a couple in there.
One?
No, like some four, bus.
So you want us to know plant horizontally?
Oh, I hope this always, these sneezes are recorded for the Oroville Radio.
It is.
For prosperity.